While members of the St. John City Common Council have been calling for a tax on vacant homes in the city for some time, with the housing crisis in the city seen to be worsening, calls for such a tax have become more urgent. As well as the need for housing in the city, issues of public safety have arisen, with fires having broken out in such buildings, including a vacant uptown residential building in the first week of January. Local 107.3 FM spoke with City Councillor and founder of Vacant to Vibrant, an initiative working to revitalise vacant buildings in the city, Brent Harris. Harris spoke about the issue of vacant buildings in St John, as well as some of the potential options to bring in a tax on vacant buildings.
We talked about a couple of different models around council. We don't have the latitude under the Local Governance Act to actually pull this off on our own, so we can't just go in and do it. I'm a little more in favor of the province pushing this authority to the municipality because we can act faster and we already have some latitude under bylaw enforcement officers, things like that, that we can utilize for this purpose. Whereas if we do a tax, it's tricky because the province has told us they won't allow us to do a multiplier that is more than 1.7 times the residential rate. So we're handcuffed there completely. I think the simplest route is just to amend the Local Governance Act in order to allow municipalities to impose a vacant building registry program. But of course, all options are being considered because at the end of the day, the problem to solve is speculation and idle assets.
The benefits might be immediately apparent, but I mean, what would you say the arguments are actually for it? How would it kind of concretely help?
Yeah, so if I have a vacant building, which I just happened to, actually, 663 Bay Street, that is owned by the organization that I run, the St. John Tool Library, as well as the 230 Duke Street. Now, these are affordable housing projects. Those buildings currently have plywood on them. You can go back in the public record, and you can see a pretty marked difference between when it was occupied and when it became vacant. In the case of Bay Street, just for example, the valuation of that building was $168,000, but it was occupied. Go back almost a decade, and that's right around what it was. Started to have some problems, and it started to get run down and sold. And when it sold, it got boarded up. And when it got boarded up, the assessment went down to 60, and then finally to 45. Now, when the tax assessment is significantly decreased, because when a building is incomplete or under renovation, it is not as valuable to the market as one that is complete. You're rewarded with lower taxes with an unoccupied building. This tax system is prone to the hijacking of speculators who are happy to fork out some money and enter into markets where they can sit on vacant land or vacant buildings until the price goes up enough to justify selling it. You know, what's the opportunity cost of not housing people there that need it? One, that's a social cost, but it has real societal implications. What is the loss of tax revenue to pay for services that are still being provided to that building? The first responder, like a firefighter, has to come and check on it because it's vacant, because it is a risk. It's a fire risk, a significant one. And we've seen multiple buildings now in the city that were vacant catch fire. So you see the problem it creates, and that would be the anticipated outcome, right? To say, look, if you can't develop this building, then pass it on to somebody who can.
Dr. Julia Woodhall-Melnick is Canada Research Chair in Resilient Communities and founder and co-director of the Housing Mobilization and Engagement Research Lab at the University of New Brunswick in St. John.
In New Brunswick right now, we're in a unique moment because the Liberal Party is working on some form of property tax reform. So really, that would be the easiest system. So making a special classification for properties that are vacant to increase property taxes would be one way to implement this. So we would need to look at specifying what period of vacancy applies to something being a vacant building. It also, too, relies on some form of landlord or owner admission that the property is vacant. So that would be something that they would have to develop some kind of system to track that at the provincial level that was then offered to the municipalities, because really the property taxes are largely associated with provinces here. I don't see that as being something that each individual municipality would be resourced to do, nor should they be tasked with doing that necessarily. One of the more promising practices that we have seen that has worked is actually to look at tax delinquent properties, because oftentimes properties that are tax delinquent are also vacant. If you're looking at, somebody who's into real estate investment, it might not be that huge of a loss to just kind of let a property go that they might not be able to resell. So really what we would need to do is find a system for identifying vacant units and then tax them. But, one step in the right direction for this may be a landlord registry. So when folks buy an investment, and really, I mean, housing is a human right, and it's terrible to call it an investment. But when folks buy an investment property, have them, register it as, okay, this is going to be rented out. I have somebody living here. This is the income that they're paying, blah, 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 blah. That stuff is usually tracked through the Canada Revenue Agency, through our taxes. The problem is the CRA is federal. And you would think that the federal government would speak to the province about these things, but they don't. So really, to track this stuff, we would have to try to find a way through the federal CRA to tell us when somebody has a property, but nobody's renting it, and it's no one's primary residence. And then at that point, the provinces could tax them.
Maybe I could ask you about arguments for it in the context of other experiences of other cities in Canada. How have taxes helped?
We have the federal underhoused housing tax that came into effect in January 2022. Basically, this is like a 1% federal tax on the ownership of underused housing. It's just 1% of the property's value. The thing is in order to really assess the value of the federal taxes, at least, we would have to isolate that particular mechanism from all the other conditions that we've changed. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we taxing enough to reduce the number of people who are holding these properties? Whether or not that 1% federal tax is having any of an impact, I'm not really too sure. And I guess that could be the argument against it, but also like no harm, no foul, right? You're charging speculators more money for the assets that they own. That's never a bad thing, in my opinion. We're not talking about mom and pop landlords that are, in all honest goodness, renting out their places that they want to provide housing for people with. We're talking about large investors, right? And in many cases, we're talking about real estate investment trusts or financialized landlords who their number one goal is to make as much profit as possible and to build capital gains through the housing system, right? Hence these buildings, like they're not buying them to house people, they're buying them to build capital. In my opinion, any extra tax on those folks is not a bad thing. Housing should be for people to live in. Housing is not a collector's item to build your wealth. We want to discourage speculation at all costs. The only disadvantage I can see is, again, that complexity it would introduce beyond the federal underused housing tax. If you're looking at implementing a provincial and a municipal vacancy tax, that would be much more complex to do.
The public supports it almost in its entirety. I mean, this is anecdotal, right? We don't have polling on this, but I've never in my 4.5 years now around the council table, but also before that and in my work at the nonprofit community organization level, never heard anybody opposed to this. But politically, this is where the Canadian real estate sector really shows its hand, I think. The lobbying power is massive. So you'll hear developers or owners of for-profit, it's almost always for-profit actors will say, well, if you put a vacancy tax on, that'll stifle development. We have a serious problem in Canada around vacant buildings. When we have a housing crisis, it's inexcusable that you'd have a building sit empty. Around our council table and within our city staff, there's unanimity here. We have been asking for it for 3 years. For anything to happen, you need political support. You need the public to be on people. And I am slowly starting to see it in St. John until the public becomes more educated and specifically asks for an end to this speculation that we see. It just leaves an open door for politicians to just not get into those specifics.
I would actually urge the federal government to increase their underused housing tax and increase the value on that to further decrease speculation. So the downside I could say is that the federal government doesn't charge enough tax on that, on those portfolios. I mean, 1% of the property's value is not gonna really hurt somebody who owns a lot of capital. So really, I don't think it's a pro or con. I think it's a question of, is it feasible and is it doing enough to deter speculation? If we're looking at using the federal underused housing tax as a mechanism to incur funding on behalf of provinces and municipalities, that can be done through just bilateral agreements between the provinces and the feds. So really transfer payments, right? And then at that point, in terms of getting that money from the province to the municipality, there would need to be a further layer of agreement, right? So really, it would be nice to see the federal government say, okay, yes, we're going to transfer this to the province, and then they're going to earmark it to transfer to the municipalities. But that agreement and structure would need to be arranged, right? So that would be something that they would need to do in order to keep the money specifically within the St. John area.
What hope do you have that, given all the complexities potentially around it, that something like that might be brought about, or something more than the federal level might be brought about at some point in the future?
Generally speaking, we hear a lot of positives when it comes to taxing vacant properties. However, there's a lot of money that changes hands, especially when we look at these large speculative investment type landlords. In terms of increasing the federal tax, real estate investment trusts and financialized landlords and speculative landlords, they have a lot of money and they hire lobbyists. They also, too, real estate investment trusts hold a lot of people's pension money in their pockets. A lot of politicians at the federal level have investments in real estate investment trusts. So really, there's a lot of folks that are like, ideologically, yeah, sure, this is like you housing is a human right and we should be doing this, but also don't touch my investment. And really, that's when we get into like a really weirdly ingrained system, where some of the folks in power making the decisions are deeply ingrained and personally invested in good outcomes for that sort of elitist class as it is. Housing sits at the interface of like everybody needs housing, right? Everybody pays for housing and everybody has an opinion on housing. But the systems that operate around housing are actually quite complex. And if our education system spent more time talking about some of these mechanisms from an unbiased perspective that exist to, commodify housing, I think a lot of people would have a very different opinion than they do. From a human rights perspective, I don't think that we should be holding properties vacant, especially during a housing crisis.
While it was noted that the effects of such taxes vary depending on various elements of a location's housing market, successes have been seen in Canada. Vancouver was the first city in the country to introduce a vacant housing tax in 2017. Not-for-profit research institute, the C.D. Howe Institute, produced a study in 2024 showing the effectiveness of the city's new tax. The study found the tax to have eased the tightness on the city's housing market by reducing the total vacancy rate. In absolute terms, there were 5,355 fewer vacant units in Vancouver from 2016 to 2021 than there would have been without the tax implementation. Erin Kennedy, New Brunswick's Minister of Local Government, responsible for the overhaul of property tax, was contacted for comment. While noting that the government was in the process of overhauling the property tax system, he stated that vacant land tax is part of the discussion, so it would be premature to discuss the matter at this time. If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact Local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Coe for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.